two at a time every week. We're just really making some headway here. I could have spoken and included all of this in one scripture, but I just feel like it's too important to rush through this stuff. So I don't want to beat it, but I want you to get it. I really want you to get this stuff. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. The title of the sermon is Armed and Dangerous. And would you stand with me one more time? We're just going to... I love that just because I think it honors the word. We're speaking on verse 16 to 17, but before I read, I want to read verse 13. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," then verse 14 says stand, verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Father God, we come before you today and we're so thankful, Lord, that you have equipped us to fight. You have equipped us to win the battle and to protect us, God. You love us. You care for us. Just as we do our own children, Lord, you care for us. I pray today that the Spirit of the Lord would have his way in this service. God, only you know what's going on in the lives of these folks. I pray that you would address those things. I pray that you would speak to the very depths of their heart. I pray that you would challenge them with the word of God. And I pray that every one of us would leave changed, would think, you know what, I'm probably not thinking correctly. I need to change my thoughts on this. God, help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Lord. Father, we worship you. There is none that you're equal, none that's rival to you, no one more important than you. You stand alone, most holy God. And as the angels say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We join with angelic forces today and we declare also, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. We're talking about all the armor. We've talked about having the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and our shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So your foundation must be truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Your foundation must be the word of God. It must be built on truth. The breastplate of righteousness is where you get your identity. It's who you are in Christ. It's not that you do everything right. It's not that you're so wonderful. We don't call anybody Mr. Wonderful in this church. But he made you righteous. It's his gift. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. It's the greatest exchange that ever happened in the world is when we took on the righteousness of God. So that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us in our sinful state. He sees the blood of Jesus covering us and we are now righteous in him. You need to change the way you pray. Amen. Then he said that we have shoes on and those shoes are shoes of peace. And Colossians goes on, he says, let the peace of the Lord rule and reign or umpire in your life. Peace ought to leave you or lead you. And when your peace leaves, you stop. If all of a sudden you lose your peace, you need to stand still for a moment until you can get clarity with the Lord on what you're doing. Don't make decisions when you don't have peace. It's a dangerous thing. You can make a decision that will cost you years in your life, cost you a great deal of money too. So today he goes on and he says, above all. Now when we read those words, above all, we're thinking, oh, this is the most important. That's not what he means at all. He's not saying this is the one that's really, really important. You don't really have to worry about the rest. Get this one. It's not true. He's saying in front of all. Put this one in front. The shield of faith. Now, when Paul begins to describe the shield of faith, he's not picturing Captain America with this little round shield. Right? That guy can do great things with that little round shield. But the shield that Paul has got in his mind is the shield that they used in battle. And it looked like a door. It was about 5 foot tall, about 3 foot wide, and they could literally hide behind it. It was composed of multiple layers of leather. I think it was 6 layers of leather. And many times in between the leather, they would put thin sheets of wood in there to strengthen it. Most importantly, as you know, leather will get brittle over time, right? So they had to rub oil into their shield every day. Now, do you know what another word, what a spiritual word for rub is? Anoint. If you anoint something, you're rubbing it. You're rubbing it in. Oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. When you see the word oil, most generally it's the Spirit of God. So these guys had to anoint their shield with the Spirit of God. That's the shield of faith. Your shield of faith has got to stay in the presence of God to stay built up. I wrote this down. There's an unseen connection between the power of God and the operation of faith in your life. Power and faith working together in your life will spiritually equip you to hold an ironclad position against the enemy without taking any serious blows to yourself. I think sometimes we overestimate faith, and most of the time we underestimate faith. But your faith is important. That shield of faith is important because it will quench the darts. That faith, that shield of faith would hook into the belt of truth, right? You'd have a buckle there that would help hold up the weight, so it would hook into that belt of truth. But not only that, they were made so that when we were fighting together, we could connect our shields. This is the body of Christ coming together. When the body of Christ goes through a battle, we can get together and we can connect our shields and literally make a wall around us. That's what our faith does. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Now, faith is not in the future. Faith is now. Faith is right now in the present. Do you have faith? Is it the substance? Is it the evidence? Do you have something that your faith is built on? Is your faith built into the Word of God? Is the Word of God your foundation to build your life on? If it's not, it's really not faith. It's really just hope or hype. A lot of Christians try to talk themselves into this hyper faith thing. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Somebody just needs to look at them and say, no, you don't. Shut up. Your faith, you're not going to have to try to build yourself up. It's just going to be there. Why? Because you've been devouring the Word of God. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, right? So the more you put the Word of God in, all of a sudden your faith comes up because your strength lies in Him and you begin to realize it. It's not about me. It's about Him. This is my story. This is my song. Right? The shield of faith. Faith is a result of the impartation of God's Word in your life. If your faith is weak, your word is weak. They go right together. You want to build your faith? Devour the Word of God. Start putting it in. Start memorizing it. Start living it. Start renewing your mind. I believe that when we come together as a body and we begin to pray for one another, we're locking our shields together. We're connecting together. We're a family. We're an army. We're a family army. Is that good? We connect our shields together because you're just as important as I am. We want to see protection all across the body of the Lord. So we connect together. And I told you last week that the shield, the breastplate of righteousness would come over their shoulders and it would come down their back some, but not a long way. So when Roman soldiers would fight, they would fight. Stand up, Treva. We were mostly clad in the front. So when we would fight, they would learn to fight like this. She would fight that way. I would fight this way. I've got her. You're not fighting, honey. You should see her punch. She's got my back. I've got her back. There's a word for that. Paracletus. It's the same word that the Bible uses for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your paracletus. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when you are weak, He is strong. The Holy Spirit's got your back. He comes along and says, you know, your backside's not really, really protected really well. I've got you back here. I'll fight the enemy that's coming it this way. You keep that shield of faith out there. I'm going to tell you, we need to change the way we talk. We need to change the way we believe. We need to change some things. We need to put faith out in front and let's believe God for something great. Right? I believe God wants to do great things in our lives. I've told people for years, you can't talk most Christians out of their salvation. But everything else you can talk them out of. You can talk them out of prosperity. You can talk them out of healing. You can talk them out of anything else in their life. You can talk them out of it because they're not grounded in it. But they're grounded in salvation. We'll get to that. The shield of faith will help you conquer. The Bible says it will help you to defeat the enemy's darts. There were three types of darts or three types of arrows in this day. One was the normal arrow that we would use today. And then other times, they would dip an arrow in tar, and they would light it and shoot it off, so it would be a flaming arrow. They wanted to destroy a city or burn down the gates or something like that. But then there was a third one, and it was one made of cane. So it would be hollow on the inside. So they would load that thing up with a combustible material. And so when it hits you, it would explode in you. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a dart from the enemy hit you and seem like it exploded in your life? You ever had a day where it just seems like it can't get any worse than this? You got hit with an explosive arrow, probably. You know, I find the devil, if he can't get us in one way, he'll go around another way and he'll aim for you. I think the devil aims at our emotions many times because sometimes we're weak emotionally. So he wants to shoot an arrow into your emotions because when you get emotional, you know what you do? You lay down your shield of faith, most generally. And your speech betrays you. Now, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But sometimes we like to play a good game. So we want to impress each other on our speech and how godly we are, how religious we are. But man, when those arrows are flying, it seems like you can tell real quickly where our faith is at. If Satan doesn't have any other access into your life, he'll go for your head. He goes for your head quite often, I think. He'll go for your relationships. He'll go for your health. He'll go for your finances. He'll attack your children. He'll attack your dog. If you're attached to your dog, he'll attack your dog to get at you. I know some of you think, oh, Pastor, you're just crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus is what I am, and I've been around a little while. You know, they would anoint that shield with that oil to keep it pliable. But right before they would go to battle, many times they'd go down to the creek and they'd dip it in water. Man, that seems self-defeating, doesn't it? Can you imagine how heavy that thing must have been once it was dipped in water? It had to be heavy, heavy, heavy. But a shield that's anointed with oil and saturated with water. You know what water is in the Bible? It's the Word of God. By the washing and the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, right? So he's given us symbolic things that we can look at. Keep your shield of faith in the presence of God. Anoint it with the Word of God. Saturate it with the Word of God so that you can accomplish great things and it will distinguish the arrows. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. That sounds like pie in the sky, doesn't it? How could Jesus literally say that to us? If you really believe as I do, that he watches over his word to perform it, that he does not utter one word that is not straight from his Father, that is absolute truth, how could he tell us that we can ask what we will and it'd be done? He can tell us that because of the first few words that he put in that. He says, if you abide in me, if you tabernacle with me, that's what the word meant, what the word says, if you live in me, abide in me, and my word abides in you, so that you're not speaking your words anymore. Jesus said, I don't ever say a word that doesn't come from my Father in heaven. What would life be if a few of us would grab hold of that concept? Where we stop the nonsense of talking about how Kentucky beat Tennessee. Just had to throw that out there. Nonsense, isn't it? We all knew that was going to happen. But no. If his words abide in you. Isaiah said, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But Paul come back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he said, but he has given us the mind of Christ. You have in your ability to think his thoughts as you ground yourself in. Mark 11:24 says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them, you'll have them. Mark 9:23 says, if you believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. That shield of faith is pretty important. It's a conquering shield. It will help you go further than you ever expected to go. The second piece of equipment that he told us today that we're covering was the helmet of salvation. In many churches and many Christians, we talk about the helmet of salvation. We put that piece of equipment on and then we go out naked. We don't worry about putting anything else on as long as we've got that helmet of salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. Salvation is the very first step that God has for you. It's not the point of arrival. It's the entry point. Now that you are saved, he wants you to conquer. He wants to change you and equip you. So we think about this salvation. Oh, I've got the helmet of salvation. And we think, oh, it just means I'm saved. I'm going to heaven now. Oh, glory to God. Well, the word salvation actually means soundness. See, the Lord says, I want you to put on this helmet of salvation so I can bring soundness to your head. You see, as you think, so are you. You're going to follow your most dominant thought. If you think you're a failure, you're going to have a lot of failure in life. If you think that you're a conqueror because of Jesus Christ, you're going to conquer. It matters. Every sport pretty much wears a helmet, except for rugby. I see Tony back there. He was a rugby player, bless his heart. They're not smart enough to wear helmets. It's the toughest sport in I think that you ever see, and those guys are out there without helmets. It's amazing. If you have never watched a rugby game, it makes football look like for sissies. It's amazing. But you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have bicycle helmets. We didn't have helmets for a lot of things. You just did it. You just got out there and climbed the trees and rode the bike. But now if you buy your kid a bicycle, you're going to buy them a helmet along with that. We're trying to prevent concussions. I believe the helmet of salvation is trying to prevent spiritual concussions for you. You know, concussions will damage your life. It damages your thought life. Can actually make your everything about you a little slower in life, if the more concussions that you have. Boxers are known to have concussions, right? By exposing your unprotected mind to the devil's lying insinuations, you're placing yourself in a position to be deceived. You see, the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield, is your mind. And Jesus said, I want you to wear the helmet of salvation. It was the most ornate, intricate piece of equipment there was. It was the showpiece. It was really, it catch people's attention, as the Roman soldiers would, they wasn't all alike. They were all a little bit different. But people would just look at them and think, whoa, look how mighty they are. Big old heavy helmets. Inside that helmet would be lined with sponge to absorb the weight, to absorb the blow of an axe or a sword. It was designed to protect them. The Lord gave us a helmet of salvation, a helmet of soundness. You better put it on. You better protect your thoughts. I watched a show last night about the rapture of the church, and this one little boy said, Daddy said the preacher down that there, that church, was trying to wash Mama's brain. And the girl, she sort of sloughed it off. But I remember somebody making an accusation in our church one time, said, you know, Pastor Art, I think, is trying to brainwash us. There's one lady who had got saved out of a rough life. She spoke up and she said, well, I don't know about the rest of you, but my brain needed washing. And I'm all in favor of having my brain washed. There's some of you that need your brain washed. There's some of you that need to forget some trauma of the past. Do you know that when you view pornography, your mind actually like cuts an image into your brain? I was exposed to pornography when I was like 12 years old. Then when I was 14, I was exposed to a whole bunch of it. And if I will allow myself, I can go back and see those pictures. Just at the drop, our brain is a fascinating thing. I can remember that stuff with clarity, and I can't hardly remember a Bible verse. You tell me Satan's not in that? You're going to have to train that brain. You're going to have to train it to stop thinking certain thoughts, to stop thinking about the past. The Bible says in Corinthians 5:17 that you're a new creation. Say, Pastor, you just don't know what I've done. Does it matter? The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need to quit seeing yourself the way you used to be. You ever heard anybody talk about the way they used to be and it was like fun to them? It was like exciting. Man, I could outdrink anybody. I don't think that's anything you ought to be proud of. Let's not glorify Satan. Let's glorify Him. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Now He's saying, I want you to protect your thoughts. Now, He doesn't say it one time. He says it many times in Scriptures. So I just want to give you a few verses. In 1 Peter 1:13, He says, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. In Philippians 4:8, He says, I want you to think on these things. In Romans chapter 8, He says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. But He's given us a spiritual mind. We have the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, He says, the natural man does not receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him, but we have the mind of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I have a sound mind. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. I don't know if you've ever been through a stage in your life, a season in your life, when you had to quote that over and over and over and over and over and over to yourself, but I have. There's been times in my life when I thought I was losing my mind. And I had to stand on that. I've been given a sound mind in Jesus' name. I have the peace of God. When you've done all to stand, stand you there for. Sometimes the battle gets pretty rough, guys. Sometimes it seems like you don't have a friend in the world. But I got news for you. You got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus says that He'll be a fortress for us. Psalms 1 says, the person who meditates on God's law will prosper in whatever he does. Meditation is, you've heard me say this before, meditation is chewing the cud like a cow does. It's repeating something and chewing on a thought of God. See, we all know how to meditate, we just don't think we do. But if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because worry is fearful meditation. And most of us are really good at worry. But if we would just flip that thing, if we would stop thinking and chewing on the things that scare us, you know, 97% of the things that you think is going to happen don't happen. If you would just start thinking on the positive things of God, that you're His child. He has a vested interest in you because He gave His most prized possession for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a long-held belief. Right or wrong, it's a long-held belief. He says, in casting down arguments, King James said, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If I could convince you one thing, I hope you get this. It matters what you think. It matters what you think on. If you think on dirt, you're going to be dirty. If you think on life, you're going to walk in some life. The Bible says, taking captive every thought. I'm amazed at how many of us say, you know, I don't think she likes me. Let me be a little bold. I don't care what you think. You ought not either. Cast that thought out. Why would they not like you? Most of the time, those things are unfounded. The Bible says you want to have friends, be friendly. Oh, that's a revelation. Maybe it's your turn to stick your hand out first. But I'm shy. Get over yourself. I was probably the shyest kid in school. You just got to do what you got to do, right? There are two kinds of strongholds. Please listen to this. There's two kinds of strongholds, rational and irrational. The rational stronghold is the hardest to be defeated because it makes sense. The rational stronghold says this, well, I can't do that. And the truth of the matter is you probably can't. You're not equipped for it. Maybe you're not smart enough. Maybe you're not talented enough to do that. So rationally, you think, I can't do that. And I find that Jesus always calls us to do things that we can't do. Why? Because he doesn't want us to get prideful. He doesn't want us to stand in our own power. He wants us to be dependent upon him. So if Jesus says, I want you to do something, don't say, I can't, like Moses did. Say, will you help me? Because I believe I can do it if you'll help me. And then he'll say something like, I wouldn't ask you to do it if I wasn't going to help you. I was sitting up here this morning. I have felt terrible this morning. I was sitting up here, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He said, when are you going to quit telling yourself? Or when are you going to start telling yourself how you feel? Don't let your body tell you how you feel. Now that's a step of faith that most of us don't quite understand. But it's getting me through the day. There's rational thinkers. And if you allow rational thinking to dominate your mind, you're not going to accomplish much for Christ. See, the rational thinking has to be put down also. Because the Lord wants us to trust him. And then there's irrational strongholds in your mind, where people are afraid of everything. People are afraid of dark. People are afraid of heights. People are afraid of closed places. People are afraid of little bugs and snakes. Some are rational fears, some are never. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Some of us have a fear of preachers. I can't read your mail. I can't see your life. I only know what the Lord reveals to me. And sometimes he'll reveal some things to me as your pastor. But if he does, it's not for Facebook. It's for your benefit. So it won't be put on Facebook. I think if we could only understand how much he wants us to succeed and how important this helmet is, it's more than just getting to heaven. This helmet of salvation is to renew your thoughts so that you will think like he does. And the third thing that we're talking about today is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the word there is rhema. It's the revealed word. It's not logos, the written word. It's the revealed word. It's the word that you have read, and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes off in your head, and you think, oh my goodness, I never seen that before. I understand what he's saying now. That's a rhema word. That's a revealed word. And he says, now you need to have the sword of the Spirit, which is really the only forward instrument that we have. Most everything is defensive, but this one goes, this one marches on. This one can defeat the enemy. So it's an important instrument. The sword was about 19 inches long and sharp on both sides, which is what the Word of God is, right? According to Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing. Sometimes we can fool ourselves. Sometimes we can say, well, my motive was good. I just had to say that to them. Yeah, you might want to check that. You might want to check that into the love category of Christ, into the word category of Christ. Because I find that he will help you with your motives. He will discern. He's a discerner of thought. He will let you know when you have unfounded fears that's holding you back. Most of the people in the Bible that we hold as mighty and great, and they're in the Hall of Fame of Faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews, they got one word from God and they marched with it. I like to think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. An angel of the Lord spoke to her, said, "You've been chosen, Mary. You're a special young lady, and you're going to have a baby." And she said, "Hold up. I have not had sexual relationships." And he says, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you." Guys, that ain't never been done before, and it ain't been done since. I mean, this is mind-blowing when you think about it. Here, this little virgin girl, an angel of the Lord tells her, "I'm not only going to change your life, but I'm changing the world through you." You see, the world will never be the same because of you, Mary. And Mary said something so valuable. She said, "Let it be so according to your word." My goodness. Could she have gone the other way? Could she have let fear overtake her and said, "They could stone me if I show up pregnant. Joseph may turn his back on me." I mean, come on. She's human. She had to have these thoughts. What are people going to think of me? But she overcame it. And she said, "Let it be so." What's the Lord speaking to your heart? What do you need to say, "Let it be so, according to your word"? I'm only an instrument. Use me any way you can use me, Lord. One word from God will change your life. The book of Revelation that says that Jesus, when he comes back, he'll have a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. It's the word of God. You see, this word really means this two-edged is distomos, distomos in the Greek. And it doesn't really mean double-edged. It really means two mouths. Two mouths. You see, when God spoke the word, it come out of his mouth. And when you speak the word, it comes out of your mouth. And the word that came out of Jesus' mouth is just as mighty when it comes out of your mouth. That's the double-edged sword. Speaking his word instead of your fear. We will conquer when we begin to speak his word. I just think so much of the time we talk about our doubt. So much of the time we talk about our problem. And we wait till Sunday morning to talk about the solution to our problem. I think we got something a little wrong. I think we need to quit talking about the mountain. Let's start talking about the mountain mover. Let's start talking about the God that we serve, how big he is, how small our problem is. You know, the more you talk about your problem, the larger it gets in your mind. "Well, I just don't think I can get over this one, Pastor." Well, I agree with you. I don't think you will either, the way you're talking. Not until you change the words of your mouth. See, because that shield of faith, when it comes up, it seems like the mouth has to come open. Okay. We got to start talking something. It's time we quit talking our fears and start talking our faith. Colossians chapter 1:13, he says, "He delivered us from the power of darkness." Just stop and think about that for a second. He delivered you from the power of darkness. So get out of it. You keep going back to darkness when he's delivered you. I think it's time Christians quit living in the gutter. Come out of that stuff. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. You see, Satan is as a roaring lion. Satan's got a big mouth and a bad roar. But the way I see him, he's toothless. When Daniel went into that lion's den, I think he went in unafraid. I don't think he probably knew what was going to happen. I just don't think he gave in to fear. See, if he had given in to fear, when that law was passed that says anybody that prays, he would have shut his blinds and prayed. But he didn't, because that wasn't the way he did business. He opened the blinds. He said, I don't care if they see me or not, because my faith is not based in them. My faith is in the Almighty God. He goes into that lion den, and I think he just said, okay, kiddies, lay down. I mean it. What if you took the most looming thing that's over your life and you started talking different to it? Do you think possibly it could change? Mind, I tell you to quit thinking like that. I will not think thoughts of defeat anymore. Because he said, I'm more than a conqueror. Tie it into the word, guys. Tie it back to the word of God. Don't just say something, oh, I think I'm a genius. Well, nobody else does. And the word of God didn't say make you a genius. But he said he'd give you the mind of Christ. He said he'd give you godly wisdom. That's, to me, better. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says he causes us always to triumph. Anybody had any days of defeat lately? Did you get up on the day that you were defeated and you said, today I'm triumphing in Christ? I dare say there's not a one of you that did it. It wasn't until the Lord told me, you need to change the way you talk, boy. Because all morning I was saying, man, I don't feel good. And the more I said it, the worse I felt. It wasn't until he told me, you need to change your confession. You see, every sermon I bring to you, I have to live it before I preach it. It makes me really mad sometimes. I remember Pastor Art gave me a sermon one time when we were a satellite church. I had to preach his sermons. And he said, I want you to preach this sermon. I looked at it and it said, the Lord of the plate. Talking about overeating. And I said, I think you better get somebody else to preach that in this church. And he said something so wise to me. He said, oh. He said, so everything else you've been preaching, you're conquering? You got all that stuff down pat? And I said, well, no. He said, we don't wait till we conquer to preach God's truth. We preach it first. You see, I'm preaching to myself today when I talk about the shield of faith. When I talk about the sword of the Spirit, I'm preaching to me. So glad you get to hear it, though. It might help thee as well as it does me. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Now that's one that you ought to memorize. That was spoken to a church that was a hilarious giver, by the way. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me to preach, to send me to the heal the sick and proclaim liberty. To those recovering and recovery of sight and set at liberty those that are oppressed. You ever thought about quoting that over yourself? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You could stop right there. What if you got up every morning and you looked yourself in the mirror and you said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't you think that would change your day? I don't think it would necessarily change the circumstances of the day. You may still have ugly people come into your life and say ugly things, but it's going to change your attitude on how you handle them. It's going to change you, not them. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Great verse to memorize. Psalms 91 talks about the protection of the Lord. He says, 1,000 may fall at my left hand and 10,000 may fall at my right hand, but no harm will come near me. That's pretty powerful stuff. It says, the angels of the Lord are encamped around about me. We pray that over our kids every time they come home and every time they leave. Father, I thank you, Lord, you said the angels of the Lord are around them. I dispense your angels right now to be around those cars and bring protection to their life. That's standing on the word. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You see, the Bible says that we are sheep. Nowhere in the history of man will you see a pack animal that's a sheep. Pack animals are mules or donkeys. God's not called you to be a donkey. I could preach right here for a few minutes, but I won't. He said, we're the sheep of his pasture. So why are you carrying all this anxiety? Why are you carrying all these burdens when he says, you just cast them upon me and I'll carry them for you? Oh, I'm telling you, that's a whole lot better. Oh, his burden's light. Proverbs 18:21 says, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Those that love it will eat its reward. What are you doing with that double-edged sword that comes out of your mouth? Are you speaking your fears? Are you speaking faith? Not even speaking faith. I'm just speaking what he said. You know, Paul came to a church one time. He said, there's some things that I need to impart to you. In other words, there's some things that Jesus has done in me, on me, through me, that you need to get. And he spoke from heaven's authority. You want your life to change? Change your words. I can't make it any clearer than that. Pick up the Bible, start reading it, and start putting your name in there. Almost any verse you can say, this is to me. Eric, God has told me to do this. Eric, arise. Eric, do this. I just think that if we was to start doing that, our life would change dramatically. We got the belt of truth. That's our foundation. The breastplate of righteousness is our identity. The peace, the shoes of peace, leads and guides us. Our faith is out front in our shield, so it will distinguish or extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. Our brain is protected. Our thoughts are protected because we put the helmet of salvation on. And when the word starts coming out of your mouth, you will be a powerhouse, I promise you. When you start speaking God's words more than your fears, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I use that one a lot. Steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. He that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and unbraided. In other words, he doesn't scold you. James 1:5. I need wisdom. Eric, I ask, or Father, I ask for wisdom for Eric, and I thank you that I receive it. I thank you that I can think the thoughts of God. I thank you that I can speak the oracles of the Father. The words of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'll try to conclude this next week. I think you probably can tell the one that challenges me the most, and I think challenges all of us, is that sword of the Spirit. Have you ever stopped and just listened to yourself talk? How you doing? Are you talking faith? Are you talking your fears, your doubts, your unbelief? Sometimes, if we were to make a list of sin and compare it to the list of sin that God has, you would find it to be totally different. God says pride is a grievous thing. In Hebrews chapter 3, he says that evil heart of unbelief. You see, when you stand in unbelief as a child of God, you're aligning yourself with the devil and not with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will have eternal life. Is that you? Are you an overcomer today? You got some battles that you need to see slayed? You got some things that you need to see God's hand move in? Change the way you talk. Start talking positive. You know, the world picked up on this before the church did. The world convinced themselves that you could just talk positive things and your life will change. Well, they had it partially right. But when you say the things that God says, then you not only have a positive confession coming out of your mouth, but you have supernatural power that's coming behind the word that you're speaking. He'll accomplish it. He watches over his word to performance. You just keep quoting the word of God over your life. Find it first. Whatever battle you're facing, you find what the word says. If he says you're healed, you're healed. If he says you're a conqueror, you're a conqueror. If he says you're prosperous, you're prosperous. God is good. God wants to do good things for you. God doesn't have any bad days. He's always good. James 1:17, there's no shadow of turning with him. Can I pray for you today? Jesus, I have delivered what you have laid on my heart. God, I believe that this message has the power to change our life. Revelation over and over said, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, I can throw the seed out there, but I don't know what kind of soil it's landing on today. And I pray, God, today that there's fertile ground, willing hearts to receive the Word of God. And that, Lord, this would change our life. Not just them, God. Me too, Lord. God, I need the change also. I need to speak your thoughts. I need the double-edged sword coming out of my mouth. I thank you, Lord, that you care enough that you wanted to teach us how to overcome, how to triumph. So, God, I just want to lead this church in a prayer of repentance that says, we repent for the words that we have allowed to come out of our mouth. We repent that every time that we spoke a word that went contrary to you. We repent every time we called ourselves ugly or called ourselves a failure or called ourselves broke. God, I'm your child. I'm not broke because you're not broke. I'm made in your image, so I'm not ugly. I look like my daddy. God, I thank you, Lord. I repent of those words. I pray they would fall to the ground and bear no fruit. And I pray, Lord, that you would break the spine of those words that we have spoken over ourselves. And now let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Let us overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus. You care enough to give us your word. Now, Lord, we care enough to know it and to speak it. God, Paris needs a revival. Paris needs to know that Jesus is still on the throne. God, help them to see it in us. Let us be his poster children. May we overcome today by the words of our mouth. God, if anyone is here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray, God, right now that they would lift their hearts to you and confess their sin and ask you to come into their heart. God, that they would repent of their sin, in other words, change the direction of their life. Go the other way and ask you to come in and be Lord and Savior. I pray that they will follow you. And I pray every person in this building would follow you and follow your example. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?